Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, April 23rd, 2015. And with me today, I have soon-to-be Apple Watch owner Dave Hamilton. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing great. And I'll also have the always entertaining Brian Chaffin.
Yeah, all right. Fair enough. I'll take it.
Yeah. And I hope you're doing well.
Indeed.
Excellent. That's as it should be. We have a sponsor this week. That would be Pathfinder 7 from Cocotec, which is totally awesome. We'll talk about them soon. But before we get to that, I figured we probably needed to give people a little bit of an update on Apple Watch order status, just because not everyone is obsessively watching like we are. So some of the very early pre-orders, meaning like in the first 2 or 3 minutes, are shipping, and that includes you, Dave. So you'll have your watch tomorrow.
Surprisingly to me, actually, I will. I ordered. I think I got my confirmation at the 3 minute after the hour mark. I ordered using Apple Pay on my iPhone in the Apple Store app, and there was actually some speculation earlier this week by some folks saying, well, I don't know if the Apple Pay pre-orders would even work because the token doesn't last long enough, but it does. You can't charge anything new to the token, but once you've got a purchase in line or a hold in line, that hold actually will last quite a while. So, and yesterday, finally, after several other people, many other people started getting notifications on Monday and even Tuesday, yesterday, Wednesday, I got a notification that mine was preparing for shipment. That was late in the day yesterday. And then this morning, I got a little. I got both an email and a push notification from the Apple Store app saying, "It will. Here's your tracking number, and it will be delivered on Friday the 24th, which at this point in time is tomorrow."
Did you see the piece I did late last night?
Which piece was that?
That would be the piece about Adam getting UPS shipping notifications.
Yeah, right. So I'm a UPS My Choice customer as well. I assume that's what you're talking about.
Yes.
Yep. And so UPS My Choice is something that's a great thing to sign up for. FedEx has a similar offering. You create an account for free with, in this case, UPS, and you put in not only your address, but all the names of any people at your house that might be receiving packages. And then every night, it doesn't. I don't know that I've ever gotten a UPS My Choice notification during the day, but it seems like in the middle of the night, emails go out saying, "Hey, here's the status on things that are on their way to you," and that includes new packages. So my guess is I will get a UPS My Choice notification tonight. If I don't, that's actually a really bad thing because it probably means it won't be delivered tomorrow.
Right.
But yeah, so it makes a lot of sense that people who would have received tracking numbers in previous days would have gotten these My Choice notifications.
Yep. In Adam's case, he went to UPS My Choice to check. He wasn't okay. He didn't get a push.
He hadn't gotten the email yet.
He went to go check, and sure enough, there's something coming from Apple for delivery by end of day on Friday.
Yeah, right. And that would be the presumption is that it's
an Apple Watch.
Yep. Yeah.
And some people have been having luck using their phone numbers with UPS to look and see if there are tracking numbers for them. And finding out that their Apple Watches are coming that way, or at least what they presume is an Apple Watch.
It's fun to be obsessive about this stuff.
Sort of. And earlier on Wednesday, we also ran a piece about people who have delivery times scheduled between May 13th and May 27th, which includes my cohort.
Yep. That's where mine's coming. Yep.
That they were getting charged. And their status notification to change to preparing for shipment also. But we don't yet know. But the delivery time was still set for mid-May to late May.
Huh.
So we don't know if they're actually going to get theirs before then. But it kind of seems likely because they were charged.
Right.
And is preparing to ship.
Right. Sadly, I'm not in that group of mystery people.
Neither am I.
I'm stuck in processing purgatory.
That's me too.
Yeah.
So you know, what's interesting
is I see another package from Apple on its way to me due next Thursday. So I have no idea what that is. I looked in the UPS My Choice thing. So
next Thursday, that would be what day would that be?
The
30th?
Yeah, the 30th. Yes, yeah, the 30th. Okay. Yeah, I don't know what that would be.
Because there was that some developers were invited to get a pre-order, get something guaranteed by the 28th.
Right.
But you would have had to have pulled the trigger, and I'm guessing you would remember if you did. If you got the invitation or pulled the trigger.
Yeah, I remember neither. So,
yeah, so okay. likely that's not what that is.
It may be something coming. I haven't looked. It's just sitting on the calendar here. I haven't looked. It may actually be something coming to another member of my family, too. So,
gotcha.
Yeah.
But UPS My Choice is a cool thing.
Yeah, it is. That's very cool. And that's a great tip. So, now, those of us that are obsessing over Apple Watches have yet another way to try and look and see what's going on with our watch status.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, also, real quick, if you happen to be in Los Angeles, Tokyo, London, or Berlin, there's a very slim chance that you'll be able to pick up an Apple Watch in a store, but not any of Apple's stores. They've partnered up with some high-end retailers, of course, for Apple Watch Edition, but they're going to have some watches in some of those stores. So if you happen to be near, hold on, I have a list, Maxfield in Los Angeles, and The Corner in Berlin, and Dover Street Market in London or Tokyo, they're going to have some watches.
But we don't know what kind yet.
But we don't know what kind, no. And it's a really safe bet there will be very limited quantities. Maxfield is actually opening up 2 hours early in anticipation of a rush on Apple Watches. Hmm. So if you happen to be there, actually, if you happen to be there, take a photo and let me know, because I'd love to see just how crazy it is at one of these stores.
Where do they send that email, Jeff?
They can send that to observations@macobserver.com.
Sweet.
Yeah. And, hey, we have a sponsor today. And that sponsor happens to be Pathfinder 7 from Cocotec, which is pretty awesome. Pathfinder 7 is a really great add-on that you can use with the Finder to make the Finder far more powerful than it would otherwise be. So instead of using a Finder window to access your files, you would use a Pathfinder window. And one of the things that I think is so cool about Pathfinder 7 is that it can handle files in a far more intelligent way than the Finder does. So, for example, let's say I have two folders full of documents. It can compare the folders for me without me needing to know any command line tricks to do that. And then I can take all the files from one folder, drop them into the other, and it will merge everything, and it intelligently handles all of these files for me. So it's a great way to take a bunch of stuff that has somehow gotten mixed around in various locations and put it all back together in a smart way so that that you have everything where you need it, and you're saving time, and you're reducing the risk of accidentally deleting the wrong file. So I think that's pretty cool. You can also synchronize folders with Pathfinder 7. And that's kind of awesome because, well, it's something we're already doing with utilities like Dropbox, but being able to do that without needing a service like Dropbox, just locally on your own drives, that's pretty cool. So go check this out. Go to their website, cocotec.com/Pathfinder, and you can download, I believe it's a 2-week demo version, and try it out. And when you realize how awesome it is and that you, in fact, do need to buy this, instead of spending $39.95, which is what it regularly costs, use the discount code TDO and get 25% off. So it's $29.95, and that code's good through the end of June. So head over to their website, cocotec.com/Pathfinder. Download the demo, use the discount code TDO, and start using Pathfinder because it's pretty awesome. So thank you, Cocotec, for being our sponsor this week. Okay, Now, the other thing I wanted to look at, Brian, you looked at a new thing that Google is doing.
Project Fi.
Yeah. So what's up with that?
My alt tags, by the way, for the image on the homepage, and one of the images in the story was Fee Fi Fo Fum. Just FYI.
Why I look at Brian.
Project Fi. Google is officially in the wireless game now. They've been rumored to be working on something for a long time, and they've done it. They're working with Sprint and T-Mobile, and they're quite upfront about those two companies being the two networks they're working with. And it's open initially to Nexus 6 owners, but if you're a Project Fi subscriber, your Nexus 6 device will choose between whichever of the two networks is strongest at any given moment. So in theory, that should give you a stronger connection. You just have a lot more towers and networks to choose from at any given moment. Service works in 120 different countries. Obviously, it's not Sprint or T-Mobile outside the U.S. What they're doing that's besides this network switching thing, what they're doing that's fairly aggressive is the way they're charging. It's $20 for unlimited text and talk. That's your basic service. And then it's $10 a gig, and you decide how many gigs you want in your plan. But okay. If you don't use all that, you get a refund. So if you're
that's
saying...
That's actually pretty novel.
Yeah, it is. If you're paying for, say, 2 gigs of data a month and you use 1.2 gigs of data, you're going to get $8 back. You're going to pay 20 as part of your bill, but you're going to get $8 back, I guess, on the next bill.
So your bill would be a total of 30 because you're getting your talk, your first 10 gigs of data, right? And then a second 10, right?
Yep.
Is that right? Yeah.
That'd be 40.
It'd be 40. Okay. So the your first $20 does not include any data.
Correct.
It just buys you the ability to buy data. Got
correct.
It. Ah. Okay. Yeah,
they call it the basics.
Yeah.
And so in this particular scenario, you used your 1.2 gigs, so you'd end up paying $32
all
for that
said
month.
Done. Yeah.
By the time the refund was, you know, given back to you.
That's fascinating.
It is.
That they're prorating to, I mean, I'm sure there's some decimal place to which they round, right? But the fact that they're prorating not just an entire $10 chunk, right? So let's say you bought 50 or 5 gigs of data, you know, $50 worth, and only used 25. It's not like they're giving you back $30. They're actually giving you back $35.
Right.
That's interesting. Or 2.5.
Yeah. And if you go over, they're still charging you the same rate. That's about. I was confused.
Overage penalty for that.
Correct. I was confused on the proration. I really don't think they're prorating your overage, because that's the only reason you would want to pay for anything up front. I mean, you'd want to choose a other than 1 gig of data. It's the only reason you'd want to do that. Right? Am I making sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really smart because Google, with Google Fiber, Google has always said that their goal was to make it faster for people to surf, because the more people surf, the more data Google gets on what you surf and what you do, and also the more ads you see.
Right.
And with their wireless service, they want to make it as easy as possible for you to use data. And of course, now with if there was anything that you were doing, especially with an Android phone, that they didn't know about, now they will for sure know about it. So, you know, giddy up. And I don't know. The whole thing is pretty smart. It's pretty aggressive. It's going to be a very small rollout because there just aren't that many Nexus 6 devices on the market.
That seems like a smart move for me, because this gives them a small test group to work with and make sure this performs the way they want.
It does, and probably of Android fans. Yeah, and it's the closest thing to a hardware and software that they truly control. Yeah, so the whole thing is smart. You know, Google does not lack for money, so they're able to do this at their own pace. And it's going to be interesting to see to see if it has any kind of ripple effects in the market.
Yeah, Google becoming an MVNO of sorts is very interesting, and I bet this has a lot of people wondering now if this means that Apple is going to consider becoming an MVNO as well.
Yeah, sure. People can think about that.
Yep. I'm thinking no. Apple is not getting into the MVNO game.
Well, you know, we haven't had any big rumors about that. We haven't had any big.
I'm gonna interrupt you, Jeff. Will you explain for the benefit of our listeners what an MVNO, MVN, easy for me to say, what that is?
Yes. Okay. So if you're an MVNO, it's a mobile virtual network operator. And what that means is that you have a company where you are buying time, in essence, or bandwidth on another cell service provider's network. And then you resell that as your own branded product, and you can sell phones along with that.
So you're essentially offering service on a network that you didn't have to build. You're just leasing space on it, presumably at a discount.
Right.
Got it.
And what's one? Cricket. That was one of the big
Walmart companies. Their Straight Talk service is an MVNO. Yep.
Virgin Mobile is an MVNO.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Boost. So there are several companies that are already doing this. This is not a new thing.
Right.
Yeah. Really, if it's not Sprint in the U.S., if it's not Sprint, T-Mobile, Verizon, or AT&T,
it's going to be
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even some of the time with those carriers, you might wind up roaming and effectively using them that way too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which is kind of weird and funny at the same time.
Yeah. T-Mobile, more so with T-Mobile than the others, I think. But not quite as much as it was, say, 5 years ago.
Yeah, I remember many years ago going to Macworld Expo with my cell phone in hand, and I was a T-Mobile customer, and T-Mobile didn't have coverage in San Francisco, so I'd land and I'd switch over to some other carrier service.
Yep.
Oh, good times. Yep. Yeah. So anyhow, I think it'll be really interesting to see what happens with Google Fi and
Project Fi.
Google Project Fi. Yeah. Okay.
Is that so they can leave room for Project Fo and Project Fum too?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Good.
I certainly hope so. Yes.
I'm looking forward to the tasty soup.
And don't forget Project Fee.
Right. Well, you know.
That's the one where they finally charge us for something.
Yeah. Oh, Brian, we already pay. Yeah. And all right, so it'll be interesting to see what happens with that and how other carriers react, and to see what happens down the road if Google opens this up to other phones as well. Yeah. And hey, that's all we have today. So, Brian, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, man, as always.
Yeah, it's always great to have you here. And Dave, it's always great to have you here as well.
Ah, it was fun. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's awesome. And it's great also to have Cocotec's Pathfinder 7 as our sponsor this week. So head to their website, cocotec.com/pathfinder. Use the discount code TDO and get yourself a nice 25% discount on Pathfinder 7. It's a really great utility. I'm glad that I have it, and I've talked to a few listeners who have said the same thing. So join us, you know, be one of us. All right, and we'll see everyone again tomorrow.